Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show today. We'll be reading from the August edition of the Playboy magazine. Do not disturb. For every extra hour of sleep a woman gets, she's 14% more likely to have sex during the next day, according to a University of Michigan study. From Thailand, potential jail sentence for posting an underboob image on social media in Thailand is up to 5 years. Wow. That's a long time to go to jail for a boob, ain't it? Okay, here we are with some advice column. My wife and I have been having sex on Sundays like clockwork. After years of being the instigator, I'm pleased to report she's now initiating sex. I've also noticed a pattern. She consistently starts right after we watch Game of Thrones. What gives? Game of Thrones has done wonders for Sunday night sex and formerly fallow relationships. It has enough action for both types to keep guys interested in enough intrigue and soap opera style plotting to romance for the ladies. While the rampant nudity and frequent sex are titillating to both men and women, the romance is most likely what inspires your wife to make the moves. Several studies indicate women respond to a combination of visual representation of sex and the storyline narrative, while men simply require visuals. Do penis pumps and penis enlargement pills really work? My penis is smaller than average when not erect and about 6 inches when fully erect. My current girlfriend claims her her previous boyfriends had much larger penises than mine. And she enjoys having sex with me. I don't believe her. ST, Houston, Texas. Pumps and pills don't work. The thing you need to work on isn't the size of your penis, but your attitude about what you've got. Over the years, we've fielded countless questions about penis enlargement, average size, whether penis size matters, etc. First of all, your penis isn't small compared with the general population. The latest study of significance data from 17 global studies arrive at the following numbers, which should put your mind at ease. The average erect penis is 5.16 inches long. And only 5% of men have penis that measures 6.3 inches or larger when erect. So when you're doing, way better than average and are edging toward what we might call in the economic terms of upper middle class cock. Oh boy. I recently started working out at the gym. Looking in the mirror, I've noticed that my left bicep is markedly smaller than my right. Coincidentally, I'm right-handed. Is this normal? How do I fix this imbalance? If you're doing curls with a straight bar or a puncher curl weight machine, it's easy to cheat, which means you should be avoiding giving your left bicep the maximum resistance. La-di-da-di-da. My girlfriend wants me to handcuff her during sex, yes, thanks to 50 Shades of Grey, but it's afraid of being stuck in the cuffs should the lock or leash fail. Any suggestions on how I convince her it's safe? Her fears are not unfounded. When the book's popularity reached a peak, police and fire departments reported an increase in calls from couples who'd gotten in over their heads and needed emergency extraction. For around $15, you can buy officially branded 50 Shades Your Mind cuffs, which have a built-in safety release, or police training cuffs, which are made of heavier metal and have a release switch. For more serious restraint, specifically designed handcuffs are made with large leather straps that decrease the risk of nerve damage associated with traditional handcuffs. So there you have it. If you want to get handcuffed, there you go. What are you supposed to wear when you work when you go to a big boxing match? When I watch fight on TV, I see some guys in t-shirts while others are wearing really nice suits. The closer you get to the ring, the better you should dress. In most seats, nobody will think you're disrespecting the event or yourself by wearing jeans and a hoodie. But if you're sitting on the first floor in the first few risers, there's a good chance you'll end up on TV or the big screen and hear more than any other sport except tennis and golf. You don't want to look like a slob. At the very least, wear a nice polo or a crisp collared shirt. A blazer wouldn't hurt. Look at all the boxers. Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather fight. Mike Tyson, Sugar Ray Leonard, Oscar De La Hoya, or all wore blazers. Promoters can get away with wearing a tuxedo. When I was growing up, my father instilled in me a belief that as a U.S. citizen, I should only buy American-made cars. His position was based on the primary on patriotism. But as an adult, I followed this rule because I assumed it was better for the economy if my money was spent on companies based in the United States. But now, with many foreign vehicles being manufactured in the U.S. and so many U.S. cars having their parts manufactured overseas, my rule seems real naively nationalistic and outdated. What's the reality? There are many realities at play. You're right, the big three automakers, GM, Ford, and Chrysler, are sourcing out many parts overseas. Consequently, there's no car on the market that's 100% American-made. Some big three cars contain less than 50% American-made parts, while foreign cars are made with up to 75% of American parts. In either case, you're supporting the U.S. economy to some degree. To ensure that you keep most of the money on the home front, consult the handy annual American-Made Index, which ranks cars based on percentage of domestic parts at final point of assembly. The most recent top 10 are overwhelmingly Japanese, with the Toyota Camry and Honda Odyssey being among the most American-made car models available. But the number of the most American vehicle is the Ford F-150 made by an American company. If the F-150 is too big and to be practical for you, you'll have to settle for the second American-made car on the list, the Corvette. I am a healthy, energetic 38-year-old man. My wife and I recently started to dabble in swinging. Whoa! But I've been having complications. I lost my erection on four separate occasions, three of which were with the same couple we've known for many years and are comfortable with. Apparently not too comfortable. I have a full erection when we start out, but when I get ready to have sex with the other woman, my erection disappears and I can't get it back. Both of the women we've been with are beautiful and I'm attracted to them. I'm not bothered that my wife is up with the other male. Can you help me with this psychological downer? It's rather embarrassing. It puts a crimp in our experience for everyone involved. Sometimes your little head lets you know what your big head is feeling. Just because you can't keep it up and penetrate doesn't mean you can't participate in other ways. Swinging isn't always, excuse the pun, tit-for-tat experience. There are many sexual activities you can explore wholeheartedly and still play a crucial part in the festivities. So, through oral sex or with toys. Oh, boy. Yeah. Also, it's possible it's not you, but them. In swinging, it's as in a non-swinging world, sometimes you need a little chemistry to get things going. Maybe you and your wife haven't found the perfect partnership. Either way, you're still a relative newbie in the swinging world, so give yourself a break and don't put any pressure on yourself. Find a way to have fun whatever form it might take. Time for a drink. That last story got me going. Only swinging I ever did was out in the backyard when I was a little kid. I'm a 40-year-old man who's never been married. work out regularly, practice good hygiene, make good money as an attorney. Prior to meeting my current girlfriend, I dated girls I'd met on Match.com and at my local gym. I was amazed at the carefree attitude they had about condoms. They never insisted I wear one, and as a matter of fact, never even brought the subject up. The girl I'm with now asked, shouldn't you wear a condom the first time? After I told her I was fixed, she said, okay, with my going bareback. I'm curious if this is a new trend. Aren't women concerned about getting pregnant or catching sexually transmitted diseases? I'm sure I would be. You should be concerned. You should also take responsibility for your side of the equation and insist on wearing a condom whenever you are with a new date. Unfortunately, the cavalier attitude you describe isn't a new trend, nor is it limited to your age group. According to a recent study, only 60% of teenagers report using a condom, and scarily, it turns out they're practicing safer sex than adults do. The same study showed condom use actually declines with age. So as you make your way in life in the dating world, please do your part to help reverse this trend. For 25 years, I was happily married to a wonderful woman. We were as close to a perfect couple as you could get. That being said, I lost her to cancer in 2012. It was, as you might expect, devastating to watch my wife slowly deteriorate and ultimately pass away. Knowing this would be the case, I sought out counselors to speak so I would remain strong and care for her properly and deal with the grief afterward. Now I'm doing quite well, and I feel ready to date and possibly pursue a relationship. This is the problem. I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing when I meet women. I signed on one of the more popular dating sites, but I find it too impersonal. Some of my close friends trying to give me advice, but it all boils down to the fact I was with the woman for so long that I really feel awkward when I speak to any other woman. I try to be myself, but I have a feeling that of being in a way over my head. And am I thinking about this too much? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. It's natural to be overwhelmed by emotions when presented with the idea of having a woman with other than your late wife, with whom you obviously had an especially close relationship. Grief is a personal thing. It becomes part of us. 3 years into the grieving process isn't that long considering the length and depth of your relationship. You say you're ready to try a new relationship and something to honor mindfully as possible so you continue to move forward. The fact that you feel over your head isn't a sign that you should ignore. Take it slow. Take the pressure off yourself. Be honest where you are in life and with a woman you meet and date. You may not be ready to commit, and they may not be either. But only moving forward will you learn where you stand in life. It's good that you're talking to your friends about it and asking for help. Continue to be open and honest and connected, but also consider going back to therapy or at least talking to a grief counselor about this change. This is a big step for you, and you don't need to do it alone or without a bit of professional insight and support. I recently took a girl I've been really good friends with for 3 years on a date. We have a history of flirting, and I wanted something more with her. I told her how I feel, and she said that she feels the same. I learned she's moving out of the town in a few months, which puts pressure on the situation. If it works out, it'll be a long-distance relationship. I've heard they're tough to pull off, but she's worth it. While we were on the date, she was giving me a subtle hint to make a move just with things she said and the way she looked at me within her body language. The problem is, I don't want to make the wrong move. After I brought her back to her place, we just hugged and then went our separate ways. Now I can't help but regret that I didn't go for a kiss. My question is, Do girls like it when guys just go for things like that? Also, would it be a good idea for me to do that the next time I see her? She's really cool and down to earth. I'm not worried about ruining our relationship, our friendship. I just need advice on the next time we go on a date because it'll be soon and I want to move our relationship further. I really hope you can help me. What a wimp. But we'll read. We'll read the answer. Boy, I can't believe a grown man wrote this crap. You sound as though you haven't had a lot of dating experience. So you might be find it useful to hear about the hindsight of those on the other side. We've heard too many men in midlife say they wish they'd made a move when they had a chance. We're talking about decades after a moment like this. With all the signs you've listed, you would be perfectly justified in making at least an exploratory move. If you rebuff, so be it. It sounds like your relationship can take the hit. We've also heard just as many stories from men about who've weathered this sort of misunderstanding. Make the move. Make the move. Get in the groove. Lately, I've been to a couple of restaurants that have communal co-ed sinks. Men and women use separate bathrooms and wash their hands at the same place. This means people of both genders are waiting to use the same sink. I recently had to wait for a woman to touch up her makeup. Typically, after urinating, I don't feel compelled to wash up, but I was afraid the woman would judge me if I didn't. And she made me wait for the privilege. I'm not sure I'm into this equality thing. Equality is one thing, equivalent bathroom behavior is another altogether. In a shared space, always, regardless of genders involved, be on your best behavior. Just because you trust yourself and your hygiene doesn't mean every guy in the men's room will wash up thoroughly. Not only are they potentially spreading their germs, they're unwittingly bringing fecal matter into your french fries when they go back to the table. Hygiene aside, be patient and polite. Wash your hands, don't primp your pompadour too much, and above all, don't do what particularly tall and somewhat tipsy male friend of ours did when he mistook the communal sink for a urinal. Oh, man. Whoa. Look out, Joe. That was a good one. Okay, it's joke time here. Hold on. Get to the jokes. Here they are. Here's some good old party jokes. Check out my new gold Apple Watch, a guy said to his coworker. That's a terrible purchase, the coworker responded. If I wanted to spend $10,000 on something that would be obsolete in 2 years, I'd buy an engagement ring. Oh. Most of the men and women at the gym are working toward the same goal, getting the perfect female body. Can you name two people who were shot in the back of the head at a theater? Abraham Lincoln and the guy sitting in front of Pee Wee Herman. Oh, that's a good one. Things were heating up at the bachelor party when the best man whispered into the stripper's ear, "What's the craziest thing you've ever done for money?" She replied, "I've gone to college." What should you do when it's raining and your wife is standing at the window looking sullen? Let her in. Never understood. The Godfather, not a very smart man, said to his friend, After all the threats by sleeping with the fishes, how could a horse's head be real? How could a horse's head, how bad could a horse's head really be? We know a guy and his wife who were happy for years. Then they met. me. An older woman was having difficulty in an automated teller machine. She turned to the man behind her in line and asked, Can you help me check my balance? So he pushed her over. my wife is mad at me that I haven't talked to her in 2 days, the man said to his friend. I haven't talked to my wife in 2 years, the other man said. I'm too worried that I'll interrupt her. me. Did you know what's sweeter than the sound of children's laughter? The sound of silence from not having any fucking kids running around your house. Oh, the sounds of silence. Simon and Garfunkel. A man who wanted to lose annoying weight for years. Unfortunately, he couldn't afford a divorce. We don't care for country music, and we don't mean to denigrate those who do. And for the people who do like country music, denigrate means put down. Frank idea. Put on a neon green bodysuit, break into a news studio, and harass the weatherman. No one watching at home will know why he's freaking out. We don't understand the phrase, if you get my daughter pregnant, you're marrying her. That's the equivalent of saying, if you're not smart enough to put on a condom, you should be in my daughter's life forever. The media's saying if America doesn't get its act together in 40 years, we'll be speaking Chinese. Yeah, like we're smart enough to learn Chinese. my daughter asked me what it's like to have kids. A woman said to her sister, what do you think would be a good way I could demonstrate it to her? My sister answered, I could interrupt her every 11 seconds until she cries. Disappointment. Running into a wall with an erection and breaking your nose. Oh, me. Luckily, when a guy calls you hot, he's looking at your body. Ladies, when a guy calls you hot, he's looking at your body. When a guy calls you pretty, he's looking at your face. When a guy calls you beautiful, he's looking at your heart. All three guys want to fuck you, though. Oh, me. One of the regulars dropped into a tavern and told the bartender, I've been given 3 weeks to live. God, that's awful, the bartender said sympathetically. It's not awful, it's great, the customer said, beaming. That's how long my wife's going to be on vacation. Oh, man. Oh, 3 weeks to live. I wish my doctor would tell me. Told me when I was married I had 3 weeks to live. I'm trying to find this article in here. Sociologist Eric Kleinenberg to investigate this and to investigate in this excerpt from their new book, Modern Romance. My parents had an arranged marriage. This has always fascinated me. I'm perpetually indecisive on even the most mundane decisions. I couldn't imagine leaving such an important choice to other people. I asked my dad to describe his experience to me. This was his process. He told his parents he was ready to get married, so his family arranged a meeting with three neighboring families. The first girl, he said, was a little too tall. The second was a little too short. Then he met my mother. After he quickly deduced that she was the appropriate height, finally, they talked for about 30 minutes. They decided it would work. A week later, they were married. And they still are, 35 years later, happily so, and probably more than most older white people who I know who had non-arranged marriages. So that's how my dad decided on whom he was going to spend the rest of his life with, meeting a few people, analyzing their height, and deciding on one after talking to her for 30 minutes. It was like he went on the MTV dating show Next and married my mom. Let's look at how I do things, maybe with even a slightly less important decision. How about the time I had to pick where to eat dinner in Seattle when I was on tour during spring of 2014? First, I text four friends who travel and eat out a lot, and whose judgment on food I really trust. While I waited for the recommendations from them, I checked the website Eater for its heat map, which includes new tasty restaurants in the city. I also checked Eater 38, which is the site's list of the 38 essential Seattle restaurants and standbys. Then I checked reviews on Yelp to see what consensus was there. I also checked my online guide to Seattle. I narrowed down my search after consulting all three recommendations and went to the restaurant websites on the website to check out the menus. At this point, I filtered all my options down to the tastiness, distance, and what my stomach told me it wanted to eat. Finally, after much deliberation, I selected a place, El Corvo, a delicious Italian restaurant that sounded amazing, fresh-made pasta. They did only three different types a day. I was very excited. Unfortunately, it was closed. It only served lunch. By now, I'd run out of time and I had a show to do, so I ended up making a peanut butter and banana sandwich on the bus. It kind of rare goes into a lot of my decision making, whether it's where I'm eating, where I'm traveling, God forbid something I'm buying. I feel compelled to do a lot of research to make sure I'm getting the best. At certain times, though, I need the best mentality can be debilitating. I wish I could just eat somewhere that looks good and be happy with my choice, but I can't. The problem is I know somewhere there is a perfect meal for me, and I have to do however much research I can to find it. Okay, I'm going to cut it up right there, and we'll finish that story tomorrow. It sounds really interesting, the way he's setting this up. And that's our show for today. Have a great day, great night, wherever you are. See you next time.